We become the one who answers our prayers. Only then will we be, as the Christian Bible says, created in the image of God. 192:21 See page 7 caret, chapter Ancient Masters. I would not be telling the truth if I claimed that leaving my body and traveling into new fantastic worlds in full waking consciousness and experiencing total freedom was not one of the most incredible adventures a person could ever dream of. But as unbelievable as it may sound, exploring dimensions beyond the physical was not the key quest of my adventures, the reason being that I had tasted something of considerably higher value. 21. I never spoke about it, perhaps because I was afraid that my art student friends at that time would refer to it as the cheese sandwich experience, cheapening it to simply rye bread and till cider cheese, rather than the more glamorous sounding Paul on their road to Damascus experience I thought it was. Modern psychology would probably be kinder and call it a peak experience brought about by excessive neuron activity within such and such a part of the what's-its-name cortex. I never saw it as anything more than a wake-up call, which put the reality of my life into clear perspective. Compared to the rich wine of that experience, out-of-body experiences were like water. I saw it as a beacon in the landscape of my life, to which I could direct my course. I had a new outlook in my life. Any experience I had from then I compared instinctively to it, and no matter how extraordinary they were, they always left me wanting more. It was that experience in 1972 which made me rediscover meditation as the way forward. For the next 8 years I stuck to a strict regime in order to unearth similar experiences. All I wanted was the simple truth of who I am - the truth behind appearances, to find out what reality was, untainted by perception, conditioning and opinion. This had always ranked as the number one goal of my journey through life. Out-of-the-body experiences were like a kind of sideshow, perks that came with the job. Ironically, I had never envisaged that this sideshow would ultimately unravel a spectacle of cosmic proportions. It became clear that the path leading me beyond the body was the path of my destiny and that the show aspect was simply in keeping with my visionary nature as an artist. But I cannot say with any certainty that this facet would have developed at all had it not been for my intensive meditation practice. Now I am much older, my meditation is more accomplished, intensive and prolonged, and out-of-body journeys are less of an issue and so occur. 193 The final journey. 25th of August 1980 I had a restless night with only patches of sleep. I got up very early, about 4:30 in the morning, and went into my studio intending to meditate in order to go back to bed to catch up with some much needed sleep. Meditation was great for this. Not only did it relax me, but I had discovered that it could initiate a drowsy dreamlike state, which felt very wholesome and enjoyable. I would then almost sleepwalk back to my bed with my eyes hardly open and sink instantly into a deep, blissful sleep. But I wasn't tired at all. I looked at some of the paintings I had produced during the previous weeks. One in particular caught my attention. It was abstract, 4 feet by 3 feet, created with broad free brush strokes. I always strived as best as I could to destroy any emergence of pictorial imagery in the painting in order to remain purely abstract, and I thought I had succeeded with this work. But I much less frequently. The real benefits of meditation are that I have gained control over my thoughts and consequently the quality of my life has increased exponentially. Despite working hard to earn my living, often for 60 hours a week, my life has become more rewarding and enjoyable, carried on in a note of thrill and joyful anticipation. I practice meditation every day without fail as part of my routine. What I thought of reality back in 1980 was different to how I experience it now. One would think, therefore, that such a profound inner experience as the following would more likely have happened in later years. In fact, it happened nearly 30 years ago, when I was a relative novice in yoga. But all this shows is the relative value of such cosmic visions, whereas now I know that awareness of reality has a much more profound effect on life than a night out of the body. I suspect the following experience was simply the culmination of a powerful desire to uncover the core level of reality or truth, to find insight and understanding rather than a constant awareness of a living present. It was underpinned by stillness and the quiet underlying ecstasy of being alive, which is much more part of my life now. At the very least, it gave me a hint of the origin of the greater reality, which is at the very basis of life and gives an inkling of things to come. 194 hadn't. Now it was like I was looking through the gaps of a half-open curtain into another world. True, there were no pictorial elements, but the painting was anything but abstract. It was an unworldly landscape cast in pink and blue lights. The feelings this evoked startled me. I was looking at something I had never seen before. Only once before had I experienced something similar, when I looked at a painting by Mark Rothko, but that was on a quite different level. This went far, far deeper, probably because it was my painting. Finally, I closed my eyes and began to meditate. Then I must have fallen asleep. In my dream, I was walking with a small group of people through wild countryside. The colors were rich and vivid. Abundant moss covered huge fallen trees, and it was as if I was walking through a painting by the German romantic artist Caspar David Friedrich, or a film set for The Lord of the Rings, which, of course, is my view from hindsight. Gradually the scene began to change until we came to a halt in front of a huge incongruous piece of architecture blocking our path. In fact, its presence was so monstrous in its monotony that I wondered what freakish power had put it here. It was so out of character with the underscore environment that I realized at once that I was in a dream. I paused to let the realization sink in until I had established full waking consciousness. The people I had been with were no longer there. I was on my own. Out of curiosity, I entered the building. I was aware more than ever that in this world objects had little function other than to serve as symbols, signposts or challenges. This was the world of mind over matter rather than matter over mind. Contemplating its significance, I entered the building and found myself in a gigantic hall. At the very center was a large spiral staircase that went so high that I could hardly see the top. Without further delay, I walked up the staircase and soon drifted rapidly towards the very top, just under the roof. Here, the stairs came to an inexplicable stop. There was no door, no window, not even a hatch. I knew instinctively that in order to get out of the building and onto a higher level, I had to break through the roof. With my bare fists, I started punching a large hole into the roof. Big chunks fell out of it as if it was made from porous plasterboard. 22C Chapter Breaking Down Barriers 195. Finally, I climbed through the hole in the ceiling and onto a large platform. To my surprise, I found myself in open countryside with groups of trees on either side, only to realize with awe that I was in the interior of a still larger hall, enclosing the whole countryside, surrounding me. I recalled my battles against the ceiling obstacle in the past ? And I began to wonder whether I was again embarking on a fruitless effort to fight against these formidable barriers. Nevertheless, I wanted to find out, so I soared high through the hall until I reached the ceiling. I even admired the beautiful and intricate piaster work, reminiscent of ancient temple designs, with gigantic, exquisite floral patterns. Yet this was of little interest to me, and I hacked my way through the ceiling with total disregard for its artist. Then, climbing onto the roof, I found myself surrounded by glorious countryside. Pondering my adventure, I looked into the sky and found to my astonishment that it was ornate with gigantic intricate swirls and patterns. Then I realized that it was the inside of a huge dome, the roof of yet another gigantic hall. Miles in diameter, but an enclosed space nevertheless. Instead of getting annoyed, I sat down and thought about my experience, not just that I had been ascending through various domes, but the stupendous and much more profound fact that my personality, my life, my whole being, was by now fully transferred into different reality. Admittedly, this always happened whenever I first realized that I was conscious in another world while my body was still asleep, but this felt different. It was as if I had uprooted and relocated for good. There was no urgency at all to go back to my body, and the possibility dawned on me that I may have become a resident here on a permanent basis. On the other hand, I still had a vague link to another world, which was taking care of my sleeping body. I knew I could reconnect with it simply by shifting my attention, but this was not on my agenda now. I was more puzzled by the strange mystery of the experience and its overwhelming reality. I figured that I was surrounded by mere symbols, and yet the symbols looked as real as buildings back on Earth. I was astonished by how my mind dealt with the phenomena of multi-dimensional reality. It, 196, had no way of conceiving the reality of this experience other than by Carrot translating it into comprehensible symbols of stacked rooms. There was wisdom in the way these mysterious forces guided me onwards through unknown territory using signposts I could understand. I felt no desire to rush back to my body. My presence in this world was fully established, and there was no need to worry about being interrupted. I might just as well have been in another country. Physically, it felt so real. The great clarity of my wakefulness and the superb power of focus I was endowed with made me realize that I was on the verge of a great discovery, of conquering new dimensions, which had been inaccessible until now. Fate, or whatever else it was, had endowed me with this luxurious waking consciousness in this non-physical world, and it was a great blessing. All I had to do now was proceed with determination and focus. With these insights, I rose again into the air like a balloon until I passed through yet another ornate ceiling. This time I didn't even have to use physical force but passed straight into another massive hall, filling me with excitement and expectation. The light in this space was far brighter and came from all around me. The feeling was much more uplifting, and I was carried on a stream of energy, which pulled me onwards like a giant magnet, higher and higher towards a ceiling, which dissolved before I even got close. This was extraordinary. The atmosphere was much brighter still than before, more penetrating and yet very subtle, reaching into every atom of my being. I began to feel uncomfortable. It was like coming in from the cold into a warm room, still wearing a heavy coat. It became unbearable. Something had to give. I was no longer a cohesive entity. I was conscious that my body was being unrelentingly pulled apart atom by atom. The old molecules, which had made me what I thought of as myself, wanted to resist, seeking some snug shelter somewhere in a darker region no longer reachable. I felt like a condemned man, dying a non-physical death. But in the end, it was only my resistance which had to perish. Letting go of my attachment to my novel costume, my body, which I had been wearing for millennia, was in fact a great liberation. This was the individual which had clung to my physical disguises time and time again, exchanged for a new one, 197, whenever the old one was worn out. I was keen to take a look at the vast spectrum of these veils, an endless chain of lives, paraded in millions of images in front of my disembodied eyes. The process began to feel joyful once I understood not to cling onto the old heavy matter of my body and the burden of the past. Whatever the forces were that ripped me apart, they did so not because they wanted to destroy me, but out of love, pure and unconditional. They wanted me to join them, become part of them, so I could enter their native realm. There was no turning back. It was as if I was pulled by invisible strings, all eager to call me home. This was accompanied by a sweet and beckoning sound, which evolved into a choir of enchanting sound, with voices so sweet that there was no way I could have resisted. I left behind all that I had valued so much, which was really little more than idle games played with childlike earnestness, and dreams indulged in and lifetimes struggling in search of happiness. With my new pair of eyes, I became accustomed to my new surroundings as if I was coming into sunlight for the first time after being trapped in a dark dungeon for years. Before me a sea of pleasure opened in warm sparkling waves, and a disembodied soprano voice urged me to plunge my heart and soul into this open ocean. I was not alone. There were millions like myself, sparkling orbs, the souls of others, bobbing along on a vast expanse of colored light, attached to sparkling filaments fused to a living counterpart down vertical bar below in some distant darkness. Whatever their blind and ignorant physical counterparts were up to, indulging in meanness or basking in love, their lights up here were barely affected by what went on below. After the ecstatic storm of my transformation had passed, there was peace. It was like a gathering of my new critical faculties, a calibrating of my new instruments of perception. I soon forgot everything I had learned in the limited world of Earth and began to prepare myself for a totally new cognitive experience. I was not in a place or in a time any longer, or in any form. Instead, I was everywhere I simultaneously, except there wasn't a where at all. There was just I. TI-198 Yet I was also aware of another presence, which had been with me all this time. I still couldn't see it, only knew that it was beside me. It was like another me, watching, guarding and guiding. I thought my journey had ended, I'd reached a unity which gave me a great peace and a clarity of mind, which I drank eagerly. I had returned from an endless, exhausting voyage, and now it was my time to rest. I was home at last. Thoughts and belief systems. The journey continuing this was not home for very long. I heard a roll of thunder and the air around me began to vibrate. On all sides, shapes started to emerge out of the light. I noticed that I was standing in the center of a gigantic six-pointed pattern, which rose up around my feet to form a massive, immensely intricate flower reminiscent of a magnolia. It spread out in all directions, and as it grew it elevated me to dizzying heights, and before I knew it I was staring down into the infinite underscore depth of space. But this expanse was not black like our Earth's universe, it was lit by myriad spellbinding objects. Thoughts are curious things, made out of words. Within our physical brains they appear to be abstract things, attached to objects, which in themselves have no substance whatsoever and are strung together by recollections of meanings. In a sense we are their creators, and with them we form worlds around us. Until now I hadn't realized that here they were living physical realities. For a while now I had been aware of a beautiful entity, like pea breath unformed, attached to me with gentle hands, giving me a thrill I which pulsated through my new body. The moment I became aware of it, it detached and unfolded in front of me like an enormous bloom. It was love. And now it had become a thought, a detached object I could observe objectively. Its inner life had taken on the pulsating power I had felt earlier, and it spread out and unfolded in the space before me as a large symmetrical flower. A breath ago it was just a bud, but now it opened into even fuller bloom as I pondered its secret. It was evolving continuously, drawing its life force seemingly from my attention. From 199 its center, incredibly elegant blooms unfolded on spiraling stems and pirouetted around one another in a joyful dance. The moment they touched they merged, and showers of golden dust exploded and other blooms were spawned, even more beautiful than before. This in turn initiated a whole generation of blossoms to emerge, forever varying and evolving in abundance. At the center of the blossom a core appeared like a fruit and evolved into an organic shrine opening its walls, with blooms sprouting around its entrance beckoning me to enter, to rejoin and merge with the love which was so much part of me before. But I was too distracted to enter, as an endless armada of giant thought shapes was drifting in front of me, each vying for my attention. I could pick on any shape at will, and its living reality surrounded me on all sides and offered me its inner secret. Some were gigantic structures, alien and complex and of beguiling mystery and beauty. Their textures, design and character differed tremendously from thought form to thought form, as did their colors and sounds. It was only too easy to be seduced by any of these shapes and to apprehend their inner meaning. They liked nothing more than attention and drew their sustenance from it. They were animated by a quest for expansion, grabbing sympathetic energy in their path like greedy exotic sea creatures. They wove their way around alien matter, growing as they grazed on the energies being sent towards them by orbs of light. Some of them formed colonies covering large territories. I saw the formation of whole ideologies and theories, creating complex worlds within themselves. From up here I could see countless belief systems as incredibly complex shapes. I saw that once immersed in any of those structures, the perspective of the world changed for good. The center of the thought felt like the center of the universe itself. It was difficult to argue against them, each vying for space and attention. How easy it seemed for people to become seduced and ensnared by these grand designs. The sheer presence of them, how each thought provided refuge, belonging and identity, because beyond them appeared Tohiji, a thing but dark and empty space. How many people, I thought, understand that they have the power to rise above and observe these thoughts for what they are, temporary resting places, no more than inventions, giving us the illusion that we are in control. And, 200, yet they were as fleeting as clouds. When my interest waned and attention withdrew, they withered away into nothingness. I was fascinated by this powerful display. The passions and less-than energies invested in them made them shine and stand out like grand edifices, singing the glory of their creators, many of them hypnotized by their beauty and artistic perfection. Occasionally, majestic structures drifted through my field of vision with great authority, rolling slowly through the vast deep space like gigantic alien starships, so vast that I could barely see where they finished. Millions of orbs were attached to them, attracted by their sheer size and presence, enjoying the ride and the company of fellow crew members. It was driven by a powerful engine at its center, which was nothing less than a gigantic star, sitting at the top of a magnificent dome for everyone to see. Inside the dome, millions worshipped it like their god. Another big spaceship caught my attention. This one had the cool beauty of complex geometric ornamentation, joined together skillfully by billions of intricate patterns and shapes like crystals, arranged ingeniously to perfection. When looking for its mode of propulsion, I saw that huge blue orbs of light were its energy source, pulling it along, mining knowledge from the deep mysterious space surrounding it. In its wake it created new geometric shapes, which were harvested eagerly and absorbed into the structure of the gigantic ship. Any other forms it encountered were probed with purpose and curiosity. Occasionally it unearthed gigantic treasures, which reverberated and reconfigured the ship's design and greatly increased its power. Its great authority was undeniable, because it was multidimensionally expanding, both laterally and vertically, sending its beneficial energies into the worlds below. Awestruck by its precision, its clear-cut beauty and perfect design, I watched its slow, but unrelenting progress and admired the scientific ingenuity of our species to create such grand structures. Its charisma was one of rationality and reason, cool and measured. There were millions of such shapes. Some small but evolving and growing, others lumbering and fading into the ocean of billions of thoughts that burst into life, clustering around each other like living. 201 The infinite vistas of paradise. The journey unfolds. A gentle voice, which I at first mistook for a song, whispered into my ear and prized me from my contemplation. Look upon this playground of the mind. I dare you not to be seduced by it. In all your dreams you won't find greater amusement than this. This gentle-edged kudoti was posing a question and was attempting, by its very gentleness, to demolish the world I had begun to admire so much for its sheer grandiosity. The imperfections of what I saw began to lose their power to seduce. I felt sorry for my fellow souls, who were creatures. This was an enormous world, a whole universe in itself, the creation of man, gods and creators in our own right. Whereas on Earth my attention could explore each thought only sequentially, here, from a dimension above, Freed from the linear programming of the physical brain, I could read each structure in its entirety instantly, simultaneously appreciating its substance and essence. It was impossible not to marvel at these magnificent edifices, their monumental construction and seductive three-dimensional pattern of beguiling symmetry, color and proportions, woven together with celestial craftsmanship, radiating out from their mysterious centers. Here on this level, thinking was no longer an effort but an immense pleasure of observation and detached contemplation, which made it easy to observe the limitations of thoughts themselves. From up here I had a perfect viewpoint. I could zoom into them and absorb them instantly in their essence. I was in philosopher's paradise. The world of human mind. The heaven of inventors, artists, mathematicians, scientists and religious believers. I felt great freedom in the exploration. Each structure had a reason to be and to exist, just like any other creature in the world. They were products of our species, born out of need and the desire for knowledge and understanding. They were the songs of our thirsting souls. 202 trapped in them, forever seeking comfort and identity. I could see clearly how passionately they would defend their positions, arguing their point of reality. They would even go to war for it. I studied their irreconcilable differences of frequencies and character. Often their authority was taken only from their size, sometimes from the beauty of their design. It was clear that there could be no clear winner. All their passengers were attached to their systems rather than the reality of their own individual being. I felt a rush of wind, as if I was flying through the air at great speed, but I was not moving. I heard distant thunder. The world around me began to shift and I wondered what other sights lay in store for me. The wind was actually a familiar voice whispering gently into my ear. I could not tell the words, it was a different language, not human. But somehow I had the impression of what it meant. It was announcing that I should prepare myself to visit the penultimate dream of all humanity. The thunder was accompanied by electrical activity around me. With a thrill I felt the huge lotus flower underneath me growing rapidly, spreading out in every direction until it formed the shell of an enormous celestial structure, large enough to contain the whole universe. I had taken residency inside a grand cosmic temple. The walls were made out of liquid light, continually solidifying and transforming into new precious materials, beaming with ever-changing patterns. I could see at once where the architects of the great mosques on Earth had received their inspiration from. In every direction was an entrance or an exit, yet each tantalizingly close by. Through each gigantic portal I could glance into the vast vistas of different heavens, infinite landscapes lining the many avenues leading out through the gates. Each route out of this cathedral was a highway into another heaven, lined by magnificent arches as if to glorify the approach. The walls of this enormous edifice were cycling through precious materials, casting off energies in the forms of light and patterns of alternating complexities, like a giant exotic sea creature. The temple, if this word is at all appropriate, was alive and was illuminated by countless little orbs like myself. They sparkled in different colors and permutations of expression, some bright, some calm and sedate, but 203 each one individual. Streams of them migrated joyfully through the vast gates to disappear into their heavens. On closer inspection, I saw that most of them were still attached to shapes which they had claimed for themselves in their own worlds, fascinated by their power and drawing strength from them. It were these adjort forms they were still attached to, which would determine the nature of the heaven they would enter. It was clear to me that from each orb's point of view they must have felt that they alone formed the center of this sheer endless place, and that their chosen heaven was the true destiny for every other person on Earth. It was easy to see why, because each formed the center from which the cosmic lotus flower radiated out, and each formed the petal of the adjacent one so that the whole merged into an infinite tapestry. Humans find their identities here, they spin their webs of philosophies, religions and beliefs. Some get caught in it like a fly in a spider's web, Some use it to spin their dreams and spend many lifetimes to unravel and fulfill them. The voice whispered to me. But my attention had already wandered towards one of those hovering portals. The temptation to explore one of these vistas was overwhelming.